Wednesday night study on the scripture. We spent the first five classes, if you will, on trying to do the definition of what scriptures are and what they are not. Some that may apply what the scriptures are, but again, scripture is something that are written. Words were something or uttered was something that was spoken, given to inspired individuals, whereby after receiving and teaching that, they wrote those things down. We looked at the scriptures are our source of authority. We looked at reference for Christ when asked questions, used the scriptures as his source of authority to establish what truth was and made applications that we need to keep the scriptures, especially in the questions that was asked Christ, some of the others, the scriptures that they quoted from the Old Testament, have particular reference to that situation, that question that was asked, and that we are not to take those scriptures out of context. And that's certainly true as we look at the law that we're under today in the New Testament and make application to those that Paul tells Timothy that we are to rightly divide that word, that truth may be established. Next few lessons, I guess, or lesson now we're going to start maybe look at some characteristics of the scriptures and things that apply to that. Again, we made application of 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, which talks about all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. We made reference of that which was revealed up to that time that Paul was writing to Timothy. Even application is made of the New Testament scriptures, not all, but some of those were written during the lifetime of the apostles. For the time that we're looking at, not all of them had been written down at that time. When you look at John chapter 14, verse 26, again, anytime you have questions or thoughts, be free to ask. John 14 and verse 26, Christ there says, speaking to his apostles, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Verse 25, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said. And so there was to have a Helper that was to reveal to them after Christ ascended back to heaven. Chapter 16 and verse 12, Christ there says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So at that time that Christ was speaking, we understand that all words had been revealed to the apostles. But they eventually would be revealed. And they would eventually, if you will, write those down, or someone would write them down for them who was not an inspired writer, but an inspired speaker spoke those things to that writer that we looked at, Tertullus in Romans, the book of Romans chapter 16. He said, I wrote those things. We understand that he would have wrote them by the dictation of the inspired apostle Paul, the things that he wrote. So all scripture was inspired of God. When you look at the word inspiration, I can only find two times that it's used. It's once used in the Old Testament. It's used once in the New Testament. And it simply means a wind. This is Strong's definition: a wind, a puff, a breath, intellect, blast, intelligent, violent breath, that breatheth, or that which breathes. On that, that's basically the same definition in the New Testament. It's just something that's breath. When you look at Job chapter 32, verse 8, your Bibles may use a different word. Some may have the word there in Job chapter 32. In verse 8, it there says, but there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding. Strong's using his reference to says that, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So you can see the meaning, inspiration, or breath, that which is breathed. And the same thing is used in 2 Timothy, and it's found in the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. In other words, that it is breathed by God. It's the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. When it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. He blew, if you will, or a blast, or a puff. And we understand that it was God who breathed life into man. The same thing that the Scriptures are God breathed, or God spoke. And so they are by the inspiration of the Almighty God. If you look the New Testament word up, now I'll not pronounce it, even try to. I can spell it, if you know what it means. The first part of it is theo, I understand that. But it's theopneustos. And Vines divides it into two meanings on that. He says theo simply means God or theocracy. If you know what theocracy is, it's a form of government which God is recognized as the supreme ruler. So theo is having reference to God. The PNU means breathe. Hence, God breathed the Scriptures, or He spoke the Scriptures. And that's the definition that Vines gives to it. And in that this is God breathed, it makes distinctions from all other writings of man. That this is the only writing that we have that is from God. It's God breathed. And reference is made nowhere else of God breathed in any other Mormon book or anything else. Just this one. All the other writings would be that of men. Even though they may copy this to a certain degree, and I think the Book of Mormons probably do. This worded a little bit different. But again, it's the only one. It's the theo, God breathed writing. And again, as we pointed out, these Scriptures are centered around whom? What's the theme of the Scriptures? Alright. In Luke 24 and verse 27, we'll begin with verse 25. Christ says, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning whom?
Himself.
Not Himself. And that's not saying that every Scripture that we have is having reference to Christ. Okay? But He expounded to them those Scriptures that were pertaining to Him. And they are a lot of Scriptures that pertain to Christ. And it's talking about that. That's why He said that He explained to them those Scriptures and what they encompasses concerning Him. Now you can think, and we've looked at some of the Scriptures that applies to Christ. What are some things that was prophesied of Christ that He could have expounded to them? We think of Acts chapter 8 and Philip and the eunuch. He preached to him whom? Like Jesus. What would He have preached to him? He had to preach baptism. The way to get into Christ would be one. We've looked at the Scriptures that pertain to His birth, His resurrection, His crucifixion. A lot of verses that He would have expounded to them. He says concerning the thing Himself. What concerned Him, He expounded to them or explained it to them of those Scriptures. And again, it's all that encompassed Him that He was expounding to them. But again, as we mentioned, the Scriptures have characteristics and certain things that we learn from the Scriptures. The Scriptures are expressed or conveyed by, it begins with, that God spoke. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we'll look at some of these. It's just a characteristic that are preceded, they're conveyed by the thought that God spoke. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Thus says the man raised up on high, the anointed of the Lord, and the sweet psalmist, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. In other words, he was a spokesman for God, the son of David, when he was raised up on high, the anointed one of Jacob. It says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord by me and His word was on my tongue. And the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spoke to me. So it's preceded that God speaks. The characteristic of the Scripture, that God first spoke before that which was written came about. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Verse 15, in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, this Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. Again, the idea, a trait of the Scripture, or characteristics, that they're thus by, thus saith the Lord. That God spoke before they were written. Same as we looked at last week in Jeremiah 1 and verse 9, that we'll not look at again, but you can write that down to look at. When you look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Christ there says in his temptations, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Again, a characteristic, something spoken from the mouth of God, which was written, identifies the Scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul there says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively worked in you who believe. Again, Paul says, you have heard from us. You heard not the word of man, but the word of God. And he said that that word that we spoke to you works in you who believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, a very familiar verse to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 9. Paul there says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He goes on to say, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Paul says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. He says, that which we have been freely given, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So Paul said, we spoke those things which was from the Spirit of God. And again, the Scriptures are identified. A characteristic of it must always precede, or thus saith the Lord, must precede those. One cannot know the content of another person's mind unless that person reveals that mind to us. And again, the Scriptures was the source of the way that God determined before time began to reveal His will to us. It come through that of the words that were spoken to certain individuals. That they wrote these down. If you will, we have this contract. We know the mind of God now. To the extent that that's what we need to know in order to be saved. Not saying we know all the mind of God, because we understand there are some things we do not know concerning God. But He saw sufficient to reveal enough that we can be complete, thoroughly furnished to all the good works that we can do. And again, God conveyed those through the Spirit of God to certain individuals. You look at verse 13, Paul says, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And Paul is again saying that he was given God's words. The words spoken by God to man are embodied, or they are cemented in the Scriptures. When you look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, that these scriptures are seeming that they're going to stand as long for eternity. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Christ says, "Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Then he says, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled." When you look at Luke chapter 16, Luke words it just a little bit different in his writings concerning this. Luke 16 verse 17, Christ there says, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one tittle of the law to fail." And so we have that heaven and earth will pass away before the smallest portion of the law would fail. And we have that assurance that that's going to be here for us, always. That it's cemented in this book, God's Word, God's will for us. Any thoughts from anyone? If I asked you, how many different ways did God reveal His will to us, in what forms? What can you think of? Donnie often uses Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who in sundry times and divers manner times past spoke to us by the fathers, the prophets. Right? The last day spoke to His Son. A dream. What's the difference between a dream and a vision? You're awake when you see a vision. A dream, you're asleep. Even though they're kind of the same thing. Okay, we will, if you will, we will look at that. Okay? But again, it talks about He appeared to them in dreams and in visions. Okay? Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Just try to think as you go through this. God revealing His will to us of how that will was revealed, that which is written. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Someone have that, go ahead and read it.
"So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle."
Alright. So he says he spoke to Moses face to face, as one would talk to a friend. Is this the only way that he spoke? No, but he spoke to Moses like this, and we have that recorded for us. When you had, was that the Transfiguration? How did God speak? From a cloud. That who could hear, Donnie? He was an audible voice from where? From heaven. Okay? At the baptism of His Son, how did He speak? An audible voice, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." Audible, in that certain people could hear. It was not always face to face with someone. What's another way? Proverbs 16. Someone read verse 33. He revealed the what? A casting lots, okay? When you look at Acts chapter 2. Begin with verse 20, where it's written in the book of Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate, let no one live in it, and let another take his place." Again, this prophecy, that which was written, was concerning Judas in the book of Psalms. It says, "Therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when He was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of His resurrection. And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, O Lord, who knows the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression failed that he might go to his own place. And they cast lots. So God's will at the time was made known through lots that were cast. Any other way you think that? Numbers, chapter 22. A story very familiar to us. Verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of a donkey. He spoke through a donkey to reveal certain things. Again, we don't know, say, why he chose this, but it's just recorded for us that this is how he decided to reveal his will, if you will, to Balaam. This talks about that he opened the mouth of a donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Again, a way that God reveals his will. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on the bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts or the main points of that dream, not all that was said, but the main to focus on what was the facts of what that which was revealed to him. Ezekiel chapter 11. So it talks that Daniel had vision and dreams. Ezekiel chapter 11. Beginning with verse 24. Daniel says, "Then the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God to Chaldea, to those kept in captivity. And the vision that I had seen went up from me. So I spoke to those in captivity of all the things that the Lord had shown me." Again, talked about the Spirit took him up in a vision. He wasn't awake. He was walking, going up somewhere, and this vision appeared to him. As Judah talked about, you're awake. That's a vision. A dream is that which you're asleep and things come to you. Daniel said, "I would receive mine in dreams." Luke chapter 2. Verse 10 and 11. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" He spoke through angels to reveal his will. Kind of, I guess, if you will, a rare case that we looked at when you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, of how God revealed his will to Paul. How did Paul receive the revelation from God? Start with the first one. "It is doubtless not proper for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Paul says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, whether out of the body, I do not know, God knows, such a one was called up into the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was called up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities." Again, Paul says he received revelation how from God? He was called into the third heaven. And there it was revealed to him. And so you have different ways, and there's probably a lot more. There's just some I come up with. You may know some more. And I thought it was kind of interesting, you know, the way that God revealed throughout time his will to us.
So there's another one, if you mentioned this, I'm sorry, I was trying to look it up, but Exodus 28:30, when he talks about the thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim. I've tried to find out from different guys that study that, and I still don't exactly know what that is. But evidently it was a means by which they could inquire of the Lord, because 1 Samuel 28:6 it says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets.
Yeah.
So I don't exactly know what that was, but evidently it's a way in which God would make something known to them.
They were required on the robe that they went into the most holy with. They were inquired by the Urim and the Thummim there at the oracle of God. And so that was another way that God revealed, Mark.
Exodus 2 speaks about the angel of the Lord speaking through the burning bush.
Yeah. And you have that.
The Urim and the Thummim, that's something, you know, that, like Donnie said, that's a study of itself. You know, some would think it's a pair of lots that give a yes or no answer, but I mean, that just means study on the subject's all it is. I don't know.
So there's probably a lot more, you know, that just some thoughts on that of how God's Word became revealed to individuals. The evidence of what God spoke, how is that shown? Name a way that it's shown that we know was truth. You understand? Evidence that what is written in God's Word shows what? The prophecies concerning Christ, the fulfillment of it is the evidence from the Old Testament writings that Larry dealt with in his class one time, of those old prophets who wrote concerning the prophecies. When we look at the New Testament, we have proof there that those were fulfilled. When he talks about further, it was written. It is fulfilled, that which was written in the Old Testament. So we have the evidence. One is through prophecies. Are there other evidence that we have?
So the Word was confirmed by the sons and the Father.
Huh? You have that? You look at the internal evidence. That may be more I come up with. Some 3,800 times the Bible declares God said, or thus says the Lord. Some 3,800 times. They may be more. But again, that's a lot of thus God said, or thus saith the Lord. And again, it's a characteristic. It's that which precedes Scripture. That God said that many times. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Paul says, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of God. So even within the New Testament book, Paul makes reference to the things which I write, they are the commandments of God. We look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We'd also look in times past at 2 Peter 1:16-21. It talks about in verse 20 that knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation. The prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or carried along by the Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, again in verse 27. That we looked at the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so you have this internal evidence that they spoke truth that God revealed to them. And it's recorded for us. Psalm 19 declares whose word it is. And it's a song that we sing from time to time. Psalm 19, begin with verse 7. The The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the testimony, the statutes, and the commandments, whose are they? Scripture reports for us they are the Lord's. So this evidence that the Bible, by internal looking at, proves who this is from. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honeycomb. And again, these 3,800 times the Bible starts with God said, or thus says the Lord. Another characteristic that Donnie talked about, we'll look at, we'll stop here, we'll start next week. Miracles confirmed what? Not only in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament. Miracles confirmed what was being spoken. And again, we have those recorded for us. It's evidence for us from the Bible that things that were spoken were true and they were from God. Any thoughts from anyone else?
Well, while you're on that, you know, look back at Exodus with Moses speaking to God to receive the two tabernacles of testimony that he was given there. He gave evidence that, number one, he spoke to him with the shining face. When he came back down and talked to the people there had evidence that that was from God to
Any other thoughts, anyone? Okay, thanks.